Hello, my name is Sam Breakgear and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your PR and marketing podcast from Publicize, specialists in PR and digital communications. Here, you will learn how to build an effective communication and growth strategy for your business with advice from a variety of experts.
Plan ahead and mitigate the damage.
People started following me because of that.
That's one of the main ways I've gotten us in the big name publications.
You need to write it as if it's an email going from you to a friend.
You can kind of maximize your ad dollars there.
With this show, alongside our free online resources, you will learn how to take the right steps so your business will gain more recognition online, convert more leads to sales, and build greater trust among prospects, clients, and investors. Today's episode is inspired by our guide, The Ultimate Guide to Writing a White Paper. Go to publicize.co to check it out or follow the link in the description of this podcast. However, for now you can stay right here as we are bringing you some extra juicy information on how to write a kick-ass white paper with the help from our guest, Matt Seltzer, a market research and marketing consultant. Matt works on numerous white paper creation projects for his clients and conducts original research that's then packaged as a written document for an agency to then go pitch for its clients or even itself to garner new business. In this episode, you'll learn how to successfully find the balance between adding value for the reader and promoting content, how SEO can be used in white papers, and how white papers fit into an overall marketing plan or PR strategy. As always, if you like this episode, then there are many more in our back catalogue just like this. I would highly recommend you check out A Brief Guide to Writing a White Paper, The Biggest Mistakes Made When Trying to Convert Leads to Sales, and From Tofu to Bofu, The B2B Marketing Pipeline Explained.
So hi everyone, my name is Matt Seltzer and I own a market research consultancy called S2 Research. We're based in Henderson, Nevada. My background with white papers is really my background with marketing and market research. One of the big things that research does is sheds light, sheds information, sheds completely new insights that can be used in white papers. And I've had a chance to work on myriad projects like that. And then separately, white papers are a huge piece of what we call content marketing today, but really it's part of marketing. It's part of the whole life cycle of how someone finds us, how someone gets to know us, and eventually how we go into that sales process that leads someone to be a customer. And a lot of that is surprisingly predicated these days on white papers. And I've had a chance to work on those projects.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm excited to talk about this because even though white papers are something that we deal with here at Publicize, I personally am not involved with them, so I'm a complete novice when it comes to white papers. I've been fortunate enough to have one episode on them before, but I still wouldn't say that my knowledge is really deeply entrenched, and it could definitely be better. So let's kick off with a very basic question.
Sure.
What should the purpose of a white paper be?
There are two purposes of a white paper. The first and foremost should be to brand your brand the way you want to be branded. You know, as Publicize, and I know you're familiar with, thought leadership. There is something inherently valuable about being considered the expert in your industry or an expert in your industry. People want to do business with the expert. Now, there's a lot of ways you could share that you're an expert. White paper is a phenomenal one, especially for today. And I say today because after this, I've got 35,000 other things I need to do with my day, and sitting around listening to someone tell me why they're an expert, I don't have time for that. But tonight, when I'm going to sit down and just kind of relax and review what I need to review, that's the perfect place for a white paper to insert itself into my lifestyle, into anyone's lifestyle. So that's why I like white papers, is they provide this thought leadership component that inserts itself really at your audience's time frame when it works for them. The second piece, though, where I mentioned there were two real focuses, and this one can go back and forth, but it's a big one in my mind, is what do you get from publishing a white paper, you being a business that published it? A lot of times we see these great lead funnels, these content funnels that start with someone downloading a white paper. And what are the steps before that? Well, before they download something, they have to give you their name and their email address, and that's not a huge ask. But from a marketing standpoint, our goal is to build a relationship with someone. we need those two pieces, name and email address, to start that conversation. And all we had to do was create a great piece of content that brands us as a thought leader. And now this person who downloaded it is saying, I want you to communicate with me. I want to hear what you have to say. And that's how the relationship starts. So it's those two pieces. It's thought leadership branding. And it's what can you do with it from the next steps of a marketing standpoint?
Okay, that makes sense. And in a way, you kind of answered my next question there, like, why are white papers important for demonstrating thought leadership? But I would love to know, essentially, why you would choose a white paper over something else. So, for example, I find podcasts very good for demonstrating thought leadership. Like, how does it compare with other mediums, would you say?
It's different. How I'm going to communicate on this podcast, how I communicate on any podcast or in a presentation, is different than how I write. I actually had this conversation with a writer yesterday, that what we're really trying to do is convey our expertise through different mediums. What's interesting, though, is those mediums affect people differently. You mentioned podcasts. I love podcasts as a form of content, as a form of building a relationship. What can I do? I apologize to the listeners, because you're going to hear behind the scenes here. But what can I have a listener do with the podcast? Obviously, I've branded myself as an expert, and anyone who's doing a podcast. But what's the next thing I could have them do? I don't have your email address. I can't send you a contact information, a discussion. Mm-hmm. Can't give you a call. But would you like to learn more about what I've been learning, what I've been talking about? Well, I have some white paper examples. And now, just like we mentioned a second ago, someone might go and download that content and review it and continue their thinking of me as an expert. They've also given me the email address and the name, and we can start a conversation. But I'll tell you, that content, that white paper, was predicated by the podcast. So everything works as part of telling a story. The podcast is step one. The content, the downloadable content, is step two. Frankly, the downloadable content might be step three. The podcast, we start the conversation. We direct someone to a blog, which has no commitment. It's just, again, branding someone as a thought leader, but we're not asking anyone to share contact information. And all of that's to build a relationship. And eventually someone will get to that point, that gate is what we call it, where they say, okay, if you want to learn this nugget, this specific piece of information that we really think can help you, we call it a white paper. You can download it. It's free right now. I just need these two pieces of information. And still, all of that process, that entire process, was predicated by speaking on a podcast or speaking at a conference or speaking. I mean, again, that's the thinking. If I can't get someone to do something that I need them to do from a marketing standpoint at this medium, what can I get them to do? And eventually just working your way down to a sales funnel eventually.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's not really, a white paper isn't contending with other forms of media. It's just, like you said, another step in the sales funnel to bring them to a conclusion or a certain destination that you want.
Exactly. You know, when you say contending, I agree, it's not. In fact, it's complementing when it's thought through strategically. I mean, it's one thing to do a podcast. It's another thing to do a white paper. It's a totally third thing to do them both, in such a way that when I speak on the podcast, I'm going to mention the white paper. Or when I do the white paper, I'm going to specifically continue the conversation of insights that I had on the podcast. That strategy right there.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, that clears things up for me. Now, my next question is about value. How can our listeners successfully find the balance between adding value for the reader and promoting their content, for example, with like CTAs?
It's a great question. And honestly, that's the challenge. It's real easy for a white paper to turn into an ad. And if your goal is for someone to put in their contact information so they can download your ad, you're looking at it wrong. You being a business owner. What you want to do in your business is share your expertise. I mean, that's how most B2B works. There's a lot of B2C, especially in consulting or myriad things. But your expertise, if that's the thing you're selling, what you need to do before then is prove that you have expertise. A great way to do that, let's use plumbing as an example. And I don't always necessarily recommend plumbing for white papers, but you can see the thought process here, that if you want to sell your plumbing business as the best plumbers, we know exactly what's happening, we can fix exactly what the problem is, we're the thought leaders, then before those steps, before you get to that sales piece, you need to have proven you know more about plumbing than anyone. Now, I don't believe your home consumers are going to be downloading white papers that explain thought leadership on plumbing. I don't think they're going to, because that's not where someone's head is. But what might they download? Well, if they're hearing a weird noise in their sinks, they probably want to download a step-by-step guide just to figure out what it is. And if you can create a white paper, and that could be in the format of a checklist or a guide, or it could be a full white paper that answers that question for someone. And doesn't just answer it, but it answers the question they have after that. You know, say, oh, the noise is happening because a bolt's loose. Well, if your next question is why is the bolt loose, make that the next answer in your white paper. And all of a sudden, through this content piece, you've given someone a solution to a problem they have. The problem is their toilet is making noise. The solution is thinking, things that they can think about, consider, look at with their plumbing. The same way you would imagine if I called up my neighbor who's a plumber and I just asked him for advice. That's the level of intimacy that and knowledge sharing that we're trying to put into a downloadable piece of content, which here we're calling a white paper. Mm-hmm. But right there, you've branded yourself as an expert. You know what the problem is. In fact, you know it so well. You walked a homeowner through it, at least diagnosing the problem, and you didn't even have to get on the phone. They read your checklist. That's how thorough it was. And the bottom of that checklist, if you say, look, if this problem is too much for you, why don't you give us a call? We'll do a free consultation. And if it's a really big deal, we'll come out. And then we can talk about pricing from there. And in every step there, all we've done is offer to be helpful. The CTA wasn't buy now, act now, here's 25% off. We didn't even talk about discount. We talked about continuing the offer to help. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to do that. You can take a, you know, 20 readers of this white paper, take 25% off if you think that will work. But your goal here is to brand yourself as a thought leader or expert and hopefully create an action that further down the line, that might be right now, or it might be in 2 weeks when the plumbing problem gets worse, that they think of you when it's time to act. Mm-hmm. That's the power. That's the purpose of that CTA. Like I said, I mean, here's a great CTA, and this doesn't work in white papers, but you can see it. Plumbers give out magnets that put on people's fridges. And the reason for that is I might not have a plumbing problem today. So it's not my goal to get you to call today. It's my goal to think of me when it's time to call. That's the power of that magnet on a fridge. Well, a white paper does the same thing, because when you hear the problem in your toilet, and I don't know plumbing, I probably shouldn't use this as the example, but when you hear that problem happening, your mind thinks, well, what did the checklist say? You know what? I don't know what the checklist said, but I remember who did it. Let me give them a call. And all of that, that's a marketing process right there. And the crux, the cornerstone of that entire marketing process was someone downloaded your content.
Build a robust communication strategy for your business using Publicize's digital resources. From toolkits to templates, our resources are available to everyone and anyone, just like this podcast. To scale and grow your business today, visit our guides at publicize.co/guides and be sure to follow The Loudspeaker wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube.
Yeah, I like the fridge magnet example, because actually my girlfriend and I, we always collect fridge magnets from the businesses that we use the most. Yep. And it does work. It's effective. I know that you mentioned maybe the plumbing example isn't the most accurate for this kind of what you're describing.
Sure.
But one thing that comes to mind for me is like video. And I say that because, say, for example, I had a plumbing problem and I hear some sort of noise and I want to fix it. For me, I probably wouldn't look up a text sort of explanation. I would look up something on YouTube. I would probably go for that. So I'd be really interested to know like what role videos potentially play when it comes to white papers. Is it possible to have a white paper in the form of videos? And would you consider that a contender, or could that complement a text white paper?
Both is the answer. So let's say you have a video that explains through the reasons to download your white paper. And that could be almost more powerful. In fact, we know the statistics behind it. It is more powerful if that lives at the top of your landing page as opposed to text telling someone why they should download. So that's the complement component of video. But you nailed it. A lot of content people don't want to read right now. You know, I actually have a team member on my team. We always joke about this. When I have a problem, I Google it. When he has a problem, he YouTubes it. And both solutions are right, because we're very different people. He's about 15 years younger than me and he thinks different than me. It's important to be aware of that. So with that in mind, if I spend a month conducting original market research and publish that in the form of a written white paper, and I know that 30% of my audience won't read it. They need the content. They're interested in the content, but they simply won't read a document. Well, then it's behoove of me to go sit down with a team member. We go into a podcast studio, we set up the camera, and we record a conversation discussing the insights from that white paper. And all we're really doing is repurposing our written content as video. And that's one example of way we could do it. You could create an animated explainer video. You could, many ways to create video. But my purpose here is I've created written content. I know that some of my audience doesn't consume written content. So maybe I produce a high quality video and put that behind a gate as well. That's the same white paper. We've just reformatted the content. Video in this case isn't, I won't even call it competing. It's still complementing, but really it's thinking through what's the right execution for my audience.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny you should say that because it really speaks to me. My role here actually at Publicize is twofold. I host and produce this podcast, but I also actually work on video content. And a lot of my job is turning our written content in the form of blogs and guides into videos for our YouTube channel. So they do complement each other, and you got to access those different streams, like you said, because I'm a video person. I mean, my job is in video. So naturally, yep, I gravitate towards that. And you got to provide something for every type of person, that written content, audio content, video content. The more bases you have covered, the better, really.
You're completely right. You know, the joke I always tell people, you always have to ask, is the juice worth the squeeze? You're right. You have to cover all bases, but it can be real easy to say, look at that as too overwhelming too, and say, you know, do I produce an audio version, a video version, a written version, an infograph? And then you have to say, is the juice worth the squeeze? Which mm-hmm. of these is going to produce the best results for my goals? Mm. I mentioned, you know, 25% of my audience, and I just picked that number out, likes videos. So that warrants creating a video. If 95% of my audience wants video, maybe I don't even need a written piece.
Mm. Now, for my next question, I would love to know, how can white papers fit into an overall marketing plan or PR strategy?
So I always like to address those separately, PR and marketing, because PR is a huge, great piece of this. From a marketing standpoint, I'll start there. It starts an activation process. I mentioned the gate, and by the gate, for anyone who doesn't know that term, so you're, before you can download this content, I need your name and your email. That's a gate. That's a form, but we call it a gate in this sense. And what that's gonna provide me is an opportunity to start a conversation. And from there, we call that inbound marketing. There's a lot of email marketing. So an email drip is a great example of this, where I know I'm not gonna do business with someone for the next 6 months. It's just gonna, that's how our normal sales process takes. We have to have a conversation. We have to share information through email. And thanks to tools like HubSpot and ConvertKit and MailChimp and everything, we can set up those 6 months of emails. So I know it's going to send, you know, morning, Sam, wanted to touch base, see how your week's going. Oh, here's a link to my blog. And you set up 6 months of emails like that, and you set them up strategically enough that officially a big bulk of your lead nurturing is automated for you. And that's vital to sales. That's essentially the purpose of marketing in B2B, is to make it as easy as possible when we get into that sales mindset at the end. But everything in that sales funnel, in that marketing funnel, even from a digital standpoint, we need, you know, with targeting and all of it is predicated based on someone downloading your content. And to your PR question, and this is why I love PR within the world of marketing so much, white papers give utility to PR. So imagine your goal for public relations is we want to brand our CEO as the expert in, let's call it, energy. And we get him featured in news reports within the industry. We get him to speak at conferences. I mean, he's the keynote speaker at an energy conference. We're accomplishing our goal from a public relations standpoint. We want to brand him as a thought leader. But ultimately, PR's purpose in this context is to create new energy customers. That follows that marketing process that we just talked about. And how do you connect someone from being on a stage or featured in a news report or featured in a thought leadership, any kind of exercise? How do we translate that into getting them into a marketing funnel? Well, we suggest they go download our white paper. And we already know, then you put the gate there. And again, the white paper could be in the form of video. It could be in the form of many, many different things, an individual podcast episode. But imagine you're on stage and you say, we can continue this conversation, or you can continue to learn about these thoughts by going to my website and downloading this thing that I personally wrote, I being the CEO in this example. And what you've really done there, you've taken the thought leadership component that PR successfully secured in that, and plugged it into marketing, or better yet, plugged the listener of that, the person whose mindset is already changing about your CEO of energy, and we're plugging them into the marketing process. That, like I said, is still predicated by the white paper, but that download is predicated by the PR component.
Okay. Yeah, that makes absolute sense. And I have to say, I love it when marketing and PR can perfectly overlap or just mix together to make a fantastic cocktail of thought leadership and success.
I completely agree.
It seems like white papers are good for that. Now, my next question is about SEO. How can SEO be used in white papers, Matt?
Absolutely. I'm going to preface that I am not an SEO expert. I know a lot about SEO, but I want to make sure there's some SEO experts listening to this. But I'll tell you, SEO is built on many, many different components, data factors. One of them is if someone's on your website and they click a link within your website to go to another page, you're telling Google as a signal right there, I like this website so much that I'm engaging with a second page. Well, white papers, we mentioned this a second ago, but white papers are difficult to get that to be the first thing someone does on your website. They go to your website and download a white paper. It's easier to ask someone to read a blog article, which has no commitment. And it's very easy in the middle of a blog article to put a link to your white paper. And what you've done now, again, presuming all of this is thought through content, you're not just putting up blog articles to say you put a blog article up, but you're providing something that your audience really wants. And then you provide a hyperlink to a white paper that they really are likely to click on and possibly download because they're interested in the topic. Well, right there, you've created a signal for Google to say, look, people like my website. Almost everyone that goes to this blog article clicks to the white paper article. So that's signal number one. Another signal is entry points on your website. So Google isn't just factoring in if they come to, my website is s2research.com. That's not the only thing that they're looking at is s2research.com. They're looking at s2research.com/contact/blog/, they're looking for entry points. So a lot of times in a white paper setting, you're on a stage or you're sending out just a blanket email to your whole database. You're sharing it on Facebook and putting a paid promotion behind it. But the whole point is your white paper domain, the download page, the landing page for it, becomes an entry point. And with the right strategy for getting people to click on that, now you've created a valid entry point that Google is going to see, they're going to target, they're going to be aware of. The key with that, though, is Google's also very aware of bounce rates, meaning someone who clicked the link and then did nothing. And in fact, did nothing so quickly that they left. And if you picture a ball bouncing, mm-hmm. It's the same concept. They bounced into the website and they bounced right out. We don't want that. So what Google's looking for, not just is that entry point, but they're also looking for what percent of those people that came there filled out your form, clicked on, went through and downloaded the white paper. Because that's a big signal to Google, is someone came to this website directly from myriad ways to get there, but they came directly to this page and they did something. They engaged with it. That's a huge signal for how Google ranks websites. And then the last piece, of course, is keyword. Again, this goes back to SEO and there's a lot of different pieces here, but let's say you want to rank in Google. You want to be the first person that shows up for the search term market research partner. To do that, you need to write market research partner several times on your website. And then still factoring in the factors we just talked about, people still need to read and engage with it. But if people are reading, engaging with your website and your website says market research partner, those exact words, that's not marketing research partner, that's not market researching partner. Those are similar, but they are different in the eyes of the search term. But as long as you've got market research partner in there, you will rank, you will start to rank. I mean, that's the essence of how it works. Like I said, SEO experts, there's a lot that goes beyond that. So please don't kill me. But here we are, we're talking about a landing page that's necessitated to get this gated content to our audience. That's another opportunity to insert our keywords. And it's on a web page that we hope will be higher traffic and has a level of engagement. So the two pieces that we just talked about. So if you have your keywords in place on your white paper's landing page, you have the right links within your website to get people to that landing page, and you're sharing direct links with people that are really going to download it, you're creating real SEO signals all from how you've set up the marketing of your white paper.
Well, I gotta say, I'm not an SEO expert either, but that made a lot of sense. And one thing that I really got from that is just obviously how vital keywords are. In other conversations we've had when they come to press releases, keywords again have come up, and their value cannot be undermined at all. Now, I just have one more question for you on the topic of white papers, and that is that you mentioned a point before our call that I would love to go over as our last point, and that is, why is it important for a white paper to have an author, thought leader, or an expert to tie back to it?
People trust people. And at the end of the day, that's really what marketing is all about. We're trying to connect people with people. Even if you think about any brand in the world, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, at the end of the day, we're still talking about people. There's a reason sales is still such a high industry right now. It's because people close deals. People do business with people. And so with all that in mind, it's one thing if, and we mentioned this a second ago, if our energy company puts out a white paper, that's great. I'd expect them to be thought experts. They're a company. It works within the field of energy. It's also, I don't get any emotions from that. It could be the best white paper ever, but if it has the big branded logo at the top and says, this is from our company, I get nothing from that, from an emotional standpoint. Separately, from a CEO standpoint, if I'm reading that the CEO took the time to write this, whether he did or didn't, seeing his name on there and then tying it back to, well, I'm reading the white paper because I heard him speak, or I read his quote in this industry magazine. Well, now it's a person. And even though I may never do business with that person, look at how many pinnacle thought leader CEOs we have in the world right now. And this is bad timing because two of them just stepped down in the last week. But this has been a thing with Bill Gates, with Jeff Bezos, with Mark Zuckerberg, with, you can imagine who the thought leader at the top is. And that's what the words I've even heard used before, the thought leader at the top. You assume this is the person guiding the ship with their expert knowledge of the industry that I'm trying to do business in. That's the exact same story we're trying to tell through white paper, through PR a lot of the time, is we're not just a smart company, though we are. We are made up of very intelligent individuals. And those are the people who will be looking at your accounts, looking at your projects, or looking at the people who are looking at your projects. So you don't have anything to worry about. Your business will be in great hands because the ship is being guided by the smartest guy in the room. That's really why we're putting an author to it as opposed to a brand.
I get that. And yeah, as you were listing off examples there, Elon Musk is a definite example. Yep. That comes to mind for me. And I completely understand your point about people want to sell to people, but be associated with people. Every company is in the business of personalizing their brand and or making people feel like connected in a way to
Completely
someone
agreed.
Or something. And I think you mentioning Coca-Cola is a prime example of this, because the first thing that came to mind there is that Share a Coke campaign they did where they put names on labels. And obviously you see a Coca-Cola bottle or can, and it's got the name of a loved one on it. Then that really resonates, and you're probably more likely to buy it for them and give it to them as a gift. Despite it being just a sugary drinks company, it's almost creating memories and emotions.
So you nailed that. That's one of my favorite tactics that's ever been executed, because how do you turn a drink into a person? And that may seem like a ridiculous brainstormy kind of question, but here's a brand that successfully did it. I mean, I can't look at a Sprite or a bag of French fries and think my wife would love that, but I see a Coca-Cola that says Heather and I'm buying it, and she doesn't even like Coca-Cola, but it'll sit on our counter and she'll laugh and tell her mom that look what Matt bought her. That's mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best way to describe that. They took a very simple product and brought it home.
Mm.
I that's so cool to me. And again, it's the same thing we're talking about here, is how do you take what you have to offer, which a lot of the times is your thought leadership and expertise, and make sure when it gets referenced again, they think about you, not just your company, but you, the person they want to do business with eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I really appreciate the stuff that you brought on here today. And if people do want more knowledge from you and just to keep up with what you're doing, where can they go for that?
Of course. You know, my website is s2research.com. So that's S like Sam, the number 2, research.com. And actually, since we're talking about white papers, I wanted to share an example of one as well. Again, this is behind a gate, but if anyone is interested in learning, because this is a very cool project, end of 2020, I wanted to see how are marketing agencies and marketing clients thinking about marketing in the new year in 2021. So I conducted a whole survey, a nationwide survey of both of those audiences, and published the results of how everyone's thinking about marketing in a comparison format in a report. So if anyone's interested, they can download that as well. It's totally free. And that's at s2research.com/2021 marketing goals.
Fantastic. Well, if you share that with us, we'll put it in the description of the podcast and anyone can go there to get to that. But otherwise, I just want to say, Matt, thanks for joining me today. I've honestly learned a lot.
Sam, I really appreciate it. This was fantastic.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast to stay up to date with the latest PR and digital communications trends. You can also find numerous videos on our YouTube channel where we break down complex topics and the best tips to help you scale and grow your business. If you're ready to take your PR and digital communications to the next level, book a call with one of our growth consultants today. And that's not all. Exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge. Just go to publicize.co/lspromo to book your call. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to having you here again soon.